First of all, I felt like we were talking about those analogies from which compare the architecture to biology and to all these new movements. And at some point, I felt that I maybe have to go a little bit more further back to understand this, which is happening now, because in some way, the articles I found in the books published earlier with Foa look a little bit not doubt, but inflated. And I felt like I needed to understand the beginnings and the origins of that in order to have certain relations to this now. And in order to do that, I went back and read a little bit about Greg Lynn and the stuff he did like 15 or 20 years ago. And it was, in a way, helpful. Because in some way, the articulations he made were quite more simpler than these. These just look like they add on to his thoughts and manipulate them in some way. And for example, like I also tried to conclude what are the benefits of all of this, and what are the stuff which move the architecture as a whole forward, and what are like the things which are misused in some way. And for example, like the biggest difference, which was introduced, in my opinion, during the work of Greg Lynn, was that the focus shifted from the typological differences towards the topological differences. And this was exercised quite a lot during the last 20 years, and also figures very often in the work of Foreign Office architects, and it's one of their key points as well. And this is one of the quotes I found also. It's an article wrote by Greg Lynn, which says that blobs, the article was called Blobs or Why Tectonics is Square and Topology is Groovy. And by meaning square, I guess that you know that in English, in American, if you say that something is square, that it's very lame, old, out of fashion. So in his opinion, tectonics were square and topology was groovy. And this is a very good illustrated in some of the works he did. And this is one of the very few, I don't know if he built anything else except this one. And this is the Korean church in New Jersey, which he built. It's called Korean church. I don't know why. It's Presbyterian, but it's called Korean church. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I checked. Yeah, you can see Korean letters over here, I think. Anyway, and this here, it's very clear that he's articulating very a lot these topological differences, which, in a sense, for him, represent also when aligned like this, also represent movement, which is also repeated again in the interior of the church. And for me, this was very interesting because, in his own words, this is like moving from modernist idea of form based on modules to a form based of potential and limited iterations derived from a basic form, and the variety is based on the shared of regulating principles. And this is supposed to be the embryonic house, the one of the first projects he made. So I'm not going to go too much into detail because you cannot see it. And the origins of it all, and one also very interesting thing is that in both the work of Foreign Office architects and in the theory of Greg Lynn, Gorick is seen as the origin and the basic point where it all started, meaning that in the Gorick architecture, the force and motion were translated in terms of form, and the structure is determining the force. So this were, in a way, origins of the stuff they are trying to write about. What I also found very interesting in the key differences that Lynn introduced were, for example, like he sees symmetry as a lack of information, which is very interesting. So I suppose that a abundance of information will result in the absence of symmetry, which is quite obvious in his works. And also, he wasn't relying, not he, but generally today, those forms are not based on hierarchies. And they're also based more, as I said, on topologies than typologies. And also very important was the shifts from concepts of space to the concepts of time, which is... And I was thinking about it because we, earlier on during presentations, we were talking about the phrase more open-ended, what does it mean, or what could it mean potentially, and in some way that more open-ended means that you're also in your definitions incorporating the notion of time, because if you talk about time is also, and you're also incorporating the changes within your definitions, because for example, like before, everybody was trying to define the perfect space, the perfect proportion, the perfect relations. So this was kind of it wasn't dead ended, but it was a process which was linear and was supposed to reach some point and then stop over there. It was the idea, basically, the way I understood it. But now it's a different concept, meaning that now you're not trying to establish something to reach some point and to stay there, but now instead of that, you're trying to handle the changes which are happening all the time. And maybe that was, in my opinion, one of the big contributions of this way of thinking, because now it's all in motion. You're constantly moving, and everything is changing. You're accepting the fact that everything is going to change, and trying to incorporate your definitions within that way of thinking. This is the, and in some way he moved away from that. I mean, he was articulating those definitions and trying to write about that for like 10 or 15 years, but then after the year 2000 on, he totally moved away from those facts, and he shifted more towards something like this. And this is his latest book called Other Space Odysseys, where it's mostly about space, about some, it's not so much about architecture, but the whole of his focus shifted in some other way, and he, as I said, he's not dealing so much with those stuff anymore. And instead, he's here. He's talking about also the notion of gravity, because for him, the gravity is something. The notion of gravity and the meaning for the people drastically changed during the last 50 years. Because before, people were thinking of gravity in terms of the binding force of everything, and now gravity is more like about orbits and clusters and fields. So that's mainly his interest now, and now he's also teaching that and trying to do research at the Vienna University, and there he has a space studio which deals with architecture in space. And this is kind of interesting, because at some point after the year 2000, you can clearly see that he has left his the ideas he had before, and he's trying to articulate in a different way, maybe to gain more freedom in some sense, by placing his architecture out of space. If you look at it from for the other point, for example, like all of the work of Foa is referenced very directly to Manuel de Landa and Deleuze. And if you try and read de Landa, gravity is the key point, because by him it's supposed to be integrated within the software, which is then supposed to select object based on their structural abilities, meaning that gravity is the most important, and it's the key factor which determines which of the species live and which of them die. So it's kind of totally to the opposite way of thinking, in my view, because he's like saying, I'm not interested in gravity anymore, and they are saying the gravity is essential, and it's supposed to be the key issue, which is going to determine who lives and who dies. And that was basically my... Because while Lin's in space, Foa is breathing buildings and creating these endless typologies. And they even went far, because I found that all of these species have names, meaning that they also figure out a way to name the species, which is also maybe... It's interesting, because in my opinion, they're taking it too far. They just took his principles, and they went too far with them. And during that time, he's in space. So maybe, but I'm afraid I'm trying to get now. I went back because I was trying to get a little broader story, and to understand it more in terms of shifts which happened during the last 20 or 30 years. But I'm afraid that maybe, like, I don't want to diss them, like, say they're totally wrong, they're totally misusing the concept and stuff, because I think that maybe that's not the point, but I'm trying to find a way to articulate all of this now in a consistent story. So that's as far as I got at this point.